What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast. This is your host, Sean Kane. Hey, listen, before we get started today, want to ask you, it's February 1st, start of a new month. This is when we usually encourage guys to get involved over at Patreon. We try to expand the community just as the way Patreon works. You can enroll at the beginning of the month, get the full month, and have that eligible. For $15 a month, you get Fantasy 5x5 plus our resources. $10 a month, you can just get the regular old cheat sheet, chat, Slack chat, everything like that. It's a value. It's a great community. It's an easy tool. And it's a great way to support the show. So if you're listening to the show on a regular basis, that is the best way for you to support the show. It's we're not tied to any major outlets or websites. This is it. So any support that you can offer the show, much appreciated. Anything for the $15, $10 tier. We've even got just regular old $5, $3. Thank you. I listen to this show regularly. Everything helps, and we appreciate the support. Let's get into the slate. What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate, upcoming FanDuel DraftKings coming at you Wednesday night, breaking down the Thursday slate. Now, after some nice steady diet of medium-sized slates, we get the smallest one of the week, only a five-gamer coming up on Thursday night. Some nice games for real-life basketball. I'm particularly looking forward to Milwaukee, Minnesota. I think that one's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, of course, what is Toronto, Washington look like without John Wall? That's going to be – could it be really ugly? It could be. Yeah, so good basketball to watch, but a small slate to break down, which means I'm going to go game by game, try to keep this thing moving for you guys. The game by game is just easier, makes it shorter. You don't have to sit around and listen to me ramble for a while. Before I do that, lineuplogicdfs.com, new content over there, PGA content. If you are listening to this before lock of the Phoenix Open, get in there. We got great content. Free cheat sheet over there this week. Free article breaking it down. And then a podcast to back it all up. The golf gentleman, Mike Alexander, and Alex Ramazowski, absolutely killing it. So check it out. LineupLogicDFS.com. All right. Let's not waste any time. You're not here for that. Let's go through the slate. We have almost no totals, but we'll take a look at tomorrow night anyway. First game of the night, Memphis at Detroit. My guess, 203 to 208, something like that. Maybe lower, just Memphis's pace. Maybe 203, something like that. Just over 200 here. Blake is going to debut. That's the word. He's possibly going to debut on Thursday in Clippers uniform. Had a nice little press conference today. Did the whole thing. Got a nice tweet shout out from Big Sean. That's one of the upside of Detroit. They have really unique pizza and, you know, some pretty good rap. So there it is. and I don't know what else to say about Detroit, guys. I don't know. New stadium. That's good. There are so many injuries on the Memphis side of this game that honestly, you can't think about Memphis players unless you hear that they're going to play for certain, which it seems like every night at 5 o'clock, there's four or five of them ruled out. Now, I don't know if there's actually guys just taking turns so they can get real developmental minutes because they're in tank mode. Or guys are actually nicked up, or they're just like saying, hey, any sort of little nick for you young guns, we're taking it easy. No reason for anybody to get seriously hurt. So even if you're nicked up, they're just being conservative about it. I don't know. But I mean, there were, I don't, how many guys out for them today? Wayne Seldon hit six threes. I'm looking at the Fantasy 5x5 news feed right here, by the way. Okay. The biggest piece of all of this is that Tyreek Evans is out until the trade deadline, which is smart. Just sit him down because there's people calling about him. We're not going to get, you know, this is, we don't need to risk this. This is an asset that now some people are being serious that he's worth something. We're not going to risk this. There's no point. They're in tank mode. It's the smart thing to do. So he is going to be out. So just keep your eye on what is available for Memphis because the usage is shifting around and there's a lot of different, you know, guys. Andrew Harrison, Mario Chalmers, and Wayne Seldon have all had games. Dylan Brooks had a game tonight, too. They've all traded nights where they've had really, really solid performances. Jarrell Martin in Phoenix had a huge one. These guys are going to continue to be little hotspots of value. Eventually, their prices are going to, you know, taper off. But for the moment, because they've traded these inconsistent, you know, performances, we have something that we can work with. So wait for news from Memphis. See who's going to play here. It's going to be a low total and not necessarily my favorite game. But speaking of some plays, value, I mean, Detroit. They're going to continue to be valuable in this spot. You have to look at Detroit, you know, with no Tobias Harris and Avery Bradley, Stanley Johnson and Reggie Bullock have mostly manned the two and the three. It seems like, which is funny because they are almost the exact same player. And you know, they're reasonably priced. They're very, very reasonably priced. You have Stanley Johnson, 5,400 on DK, Reggie Bullock, 5K on DK, and same price on FanDuel, about the same price. So, you know, very reasonable to say that you want to continue to ride those guys. If they're going to get 32 minutes, then, you know, you absolutely should be thinking about them. Yeah, I mean, Stanley Johnson, 52 on FanDuel, 40 Reggie Bullock, 47 on FanDuel. Yeah, they're right there. So those are reasonable sources of value, and they're very similarly priced to a lot of the guys on that Memphis side of things, just kind of in there. And you can get 25 points because the minutes are there, the opportunity is there. Now, I think that's all I'm taking from here. I'm not interested in any of the high price guys. The front court is going to be kind of a mess. I don't know how Blake and Drummond are going to work together or if they're going to stagger. I have no idea. This is going to be like a poor man's Boogie in the Brow. Houston at San Antonio. No total here, but I think it'll be relatively low. That's why I put it here. Potentially no Eric Gordon or Chris Paul. Of course, Eric Gordon leaves the Magic game with a back. Chris Paul's questionable with that groin injury. So this is going to be, you know, I think a little bit of the opposite of what happened in Orlando. Tons and tons of offense. No, San Antonio is at home. They're coming off of rest. This is one of the slowest and best defenses in the league. It's just going to be a much more difficult game to generate fantasy value. So as far as Houston goes, obviously James Harden is capable of scoring, you know, having the highest number on the slate any single night that he touches a basketball. Just how talented of an offensive player he is. He's a fantasy legend, and we should celebrate that. But like I mentioned, this is the complete opposite. Orlando up in pace, an absolutely terrible defense. He's 11-4 on DK, and he is 11-5 on FanDuel. So they're asking you to play him, I think, to some degree. That's not like, whoa, this guy just scored 90. And he was 12-1 against Orlando. It's the matchup that's, you know, knocking him back. Honestly, I'm going to play him. I'm going to play him if Eric Gordon or Chris Paul are out. I really think the opportunity is still there. We have been attacking San Antonio on the wing at the two specifically. It's not as scary as we think. And at 11-5, you're asking him for 55 competitive minutes. Yeah, I think it's possible. So I'm not completely opposed to James Harden, depending on the news. Now, as for other assets in San Antonio, you know, if Eric Gordon and Chris Paul are both out with Trevor Ariza out, okay, then another offensive piece like Gerald Green becomes more appealing. Clint Capella could play a lot of minutes, although I don't love him against that front court. San Antonio just doesn't allow much efficiency in the front court. So that's it for Houston. I mean, I think it's Harden. He's 1.5 fantasy points per minute. Let's say he drops to 1.4 against the Spurs. That's fine. I mean, you're not going to hurt yourself. I think it's solid. I think you know what you're getting. On the San Antonio side, I like a lot of these pieces. They're going to get a little bit of a, you know, increased offensive pressure, pace boost, big game. Coming off a nice little break for them. I like Deontay Murray. The issue, I don't know why he went back down to only 25 minutes last game. Is this like intentional? Like, is this a thing? Like, they're going to like leave him at that kind of minute range? I mean, reasonably priced. He's 59 on DK and he's 63 on FanDuel. Okay, fine. You know, he's gotten himself 30 points ish pretty much every game. I think 30 is reasonable. I just wish I knew he was getting 32 minutes. But hey, you can move on. There's a couple other spots there in San Antonio. I like LaMarcus Aldridge too. I mean, you guys know I'm a fan of LaMarcus Aldridge in general. I just think, like, if I had really been capable of hitting my ceiling as a high school basketball player, okay, too high quality. I put my years in on the JV team. Yeah, okay. Put my years in on the JV team. And then I had to, you know, pay my dues on the bench pretty much all the way through the rest of the year. All the other years I had to pay the dues for, also senior year. Did not play very much. But listen, I love the bench. The bench is actually, I'm going to be completely honest with you. In high school basketball, the bench is more fun than the court. Personally. I mean, it's just my style. Anyway, all right. That's enough about that. LaMarcus Aldridge, that's who I would compare my game in an ideal situation. It doesn't look anything like that, but I would hope that somebody might accidentally compliment me. He is interesting here. Okay. 7-7 on DraftKings is too cheap. It's simply too cheap. It's one of the better values on the slate. 8-9 on FanDuel. Anytime he's below 9K, I'm thinking about him. 43 points for LaMarcus Aldridge here is not even a problem. I love it. I love it. I think this is a great spot for him to get all of those minutes, be the motor of their offense, and, you know, extra possessions, it's going to help. I think he's going to do some damage. Cash games, yes. If, depending on how the slate breaks out with news and everything, I could see myself finding him, you know, as my kind of second tier superstar. You know, sometimes you try to, you know, go kind of in a tiered order with your salaries there. I think he could be that kind of second tier stud that fits there. Kyle Anderson, though, is also going to be able to take advantage of a lot of the production and to the small forward. They give up strangely some solid production to the small forward, not in a ton of other positions, but that's one position where they're kind of below average. Kyle Anderson had a great game against Denver, 38 fantasy points. I mean, he's been really volatile. Before that, it was like 11 and 14. It just isn't, it's unclear when he's going to shoot. Okay. That is the deal with Kyle Anderson. Like, you're just not sure if he's going to decide that he doesn't need to shoot that game. And, you know, you're going to get five attempts. Maybe you only get one attempt versus Sacramento. That's kind of fun, huh? One shot for Kyle Anderson over 21 minutes of basketball. And then he shows up and he goes 9-for-12. Now, he's not going to go 9-for-12, but he does take some high efficiency shots. You know, he gets to the rim. He's not all threes, but he's not going to go 9-for-12. If we get 5-for-10, if we get, you know, 4-for-9, something like that, you could be very happy with that offensive production because, as we know, Kyle Anderson has that, you know, Josh Richardson do it all, 4-5-1. He's averaged that in the last, excuse me, he's averaged 5-3-1-1. So you get the peripheral production, plus if you get double-digit points, you're going to be very happy with his performance. And I think Kyle Anderson is the kind of guy that if as you're building, he seems to be the last piece and he fits in there, you say, okay, I could do this in a pace-up situation with a lot of offense required here. He's only 5,100 on FanDuel, on DraftKings, and 58 on FanDuel. Now, he's a little bit pricey on FanDuel. That's a little bit much. but it's not terrible. Moving on, Toronto at Washington. This one has a line. 215 total, Toronto favored by 3 at home. I think that line's soft. I think Toronto wins this game easily. Massive, massive win for Oklahoma City against, for Washington against Oklahoma City at home without John Wall. You know, wow, get one for the Gipper. Maybe this season isn't over. Letdown spot, you know, letdown spot. Toronto comes to town. They know this team. They've played them twice already this year. They take one. This one's going to be hard. Three doesn't feel, I guess it's because they're on the road. It would be much more if they were at home in Toronto. On the Washington side of things, of course, guys, we talked about it. Bear and I mentioned this, you know, it was like, who do you like to replace Wall? It's got to be Satoransky. We talked about how fluky Tim Frazier's performance was. It is, and that's the case. And it's Satoransky. He played very well the other night, despite going 0-for-4 from the field. He had 27 fantasy points. Rebound steals, he's going to fill the stat sheet for you. So I would expect close to 30 minutes for Thomas Satoransky until things go differently. It's not a great matchup against Toronto. But given the price, given the fact that you have 30 minutes at the point guard position for $4,600 on DraftKings and pulling the price up over here on FanDuel here, $4,900 on FanDuel. That's very, very, very reasonable, okay? It's very reasonable. And listen, I love it when a guy goes 0-for-7. It's just not going to happen again. It's like a terrible, it's just not going to happen again. So interested in Satoransky for sure. Beal's been insane right now. I mean, he's been unbelievable. He just went 41 for 47 fantasy points. He had 49 once against this team earlier in the year in 2017, 31 against them in the first time that they met earlier in the season. I think he settles down from this kind of tear that he's been on. I don't think the usage is going to stop, but I think his energy is going to start to wane. And I think he's probably not going to play 41 minutes. It is the way that you attack Toronto, however. You attack him at the shooting guard. DeRozan is the one guy who, you know, doesn't really battle and cause problems for people. You know, think about that. Ibaka's not what he once was, but, like, you go the 1-3, and OG Anunoby's just massive and very, very, very athletic. You 1-3-4. They're pretty good, but you can't attack them, and you can't attack them at the two and against Joval. He shows up sometimes. Actually, he's pretty physical. Anyhow, that's enough about the Toronto defense. This is definitely, I feel like I'm not going to say you have to have him. This is a big game. They're still at home, which I love. That is a little bit more convincing to me that Beal is at home in this situation. And the reality is that he's going to be highly owned in cash games because people are so comfortable with the way he's performing. We still think that he has, he has a ceiling, and the usage has been just unbelievable. There will be a point during the season when Bradley Beal is a 9K, over 9K player. And I think, we're getting there. He's 8-4 on DK and he's 8-5 on FanDuel. I mean, a couple more big games and we're going to be there. He has been, like I said, ridiculous. And that's part of the reason why you absolutely can play him, because you trust 25% usage, 25 points per game, over a fantasy point per minute. Everything is trending in the right direction. 41 in the last 5. 37 on the season. So you can see how not having a full, John Wall in the last two games, but also, just the ceiling that Beal offers, the assists are there too. 14 assists in the last two games. That's pretty good. That's well above his average, which is great. You love to see a little bit of extra, peripheral performance from a guy. I don't think I can go Porter. I don't know. Markieff Morris is good. He's getting a ton of run. And the cat's out of the bag. And we're getting to a point where his price is starting to be it's something you really have to think about. Anything below 6K, I'm fine with. So I still don't mind him on FanDuel. And DK, though, 6-2 for him is, I don't have to have it. I think it's okay. I think 5,700 on FanDuel is much more reasonable. So that's where I'm going on the Washington side. On the Toronto side, I'm interested in Jonas Valanciunas and DeMar DeRozan. Jonas Valanciunas has been unbelievable recently. He has been at, you know, Harden-like production here with 1.5 fantasy points per minute. The issue is the man only gets 24 minutes a game. And that's craziness. I mean, he had 34. He's averaged 34 in the last five, but he's only averaged 23 minutes. So you have this intensely efficient production at the center position for very, very cheap that comes with an amazing ceiling. You have the risk of the floor. You have the risk of the fact that there's just not a lot of opportunity, but that's part of the trade-off with Jonas Valanciunas here. I mean, 5,600 on DraftKings and 63 on FanDuel. Now, FanDuel's starting to get wise, and obviously he's more valuable on FanDuel because of the defensive stats, but 56 on DK, you have a guy who can go for 40, and he's proven it, and he's done it a couple times. Washington definitely can struggle at the rim to protect Jonas Valanciunas. What did he have? One of these games, he had like 35 points, and one, he did not show up at all. DeRozan is interesting, too. He had 33 and one. Well, maybe I was thinking of DeRozan when I was thinking about Jonas's number. Anyway, he had 33 in one of these games and 58 in the other one. This is a good matchup on the wing. Now, obviously, you know, Bradley Beal is a quality individual defender, but when we're talking about, backcourt efficiency allowed, Washington's pretty average. And in the last two, we've seen some good performances. Like Paul George had a massive game against them. Obviously, we attacked the small forward. But I think the increased offensive pressure, you could start to see Bradley Beal struggle. And the truth of the matter is, you know, DeRozan is a capable scorer who's proven he can win this matchup. So in that case, you know, in that situation, you kind of say, okay, well, the proven is in the pudding here. DeRozan is capable of getting to Washington, you know, and he's right on his numbers right now. He's been solidly, the range of outcomes has been consistent. The numbers have stabilized to some degree. You know, you're probably working with a floor of somewhere about 25 points and a consistent ceiling of somewhere over 38 points. You know, that's kind of what you expect. 1.1 fantasy points per minute over the course of 35 minutes. Pretty much on a nightly basis. So I just see the consistency. I like the ceiling that it comes with too. You know, similar to Valanciunas, this is a guy who can score over 40 very, very easily. You know, it's DeMar DeRozan. He's 7,800 on DraftKings. That feels a little bit cheap, but he doesn't shoot the three. 84 on FD. So not bad. Not bad at all. Milwaukee and Minnesota. No line in this one. And that's probably because we don't have all the Milwaukee news that we need. They have, I believe, Jason Terry is out and Eric Bledsoe was questionable today. And now he was downgraded to doubtful. He's downgraded to doubtful, which means instantly on the Milwaukee side of things, you have to go to the backcourt and begin to think about, okay, Brogdon, Dellavedova, Middleton. And I will say, I think Middleton in this situation is my favorite. Okay. Minnesota is going, it's really interesting. Minnesota has the worst backcourt efficiency allowed on the slate. They're in the bottom five of the league in efficiency allowed. Over 3 points on average allowed, 3 points above average allowed to the two backcourts, okay? But virtually none of that comes from the point guard position against them. Some of it does, but not a lot of it. It's almost all at the shooting guard position. So very, very interested in getting after Chris Middleton. I think Chris Middleton is really nice. And now, normally it would also be, well, not I'm not saying I'm against Malcolm Brogdon in this situation, but it would be nice if, it would almost be nice if Bledsoe were playing, because then you could have Brogdon at the two, which he does flex over to the two at times. But Chris Middleton in this situation, I mean, you just, the consistency is so clear. And you know, he has been absolutely excellent. Like 52 of the last five were 50 pointers. He's been over 30 in virtually every game in the last week. He had a couple duds, you know, in the middle of January, but his offensive game has been trending up. He's jumped from 0.9, averaging 0.9 fantasy points on the season, to 1.19. So, you know, nearly, you know, improving his production exponentially, like ridiculous, like 43 points over the last five. That's 8 over his season average. Is it Prunty? I don't know. Is it just a more, you know, offensive conscious, you know, modern offensive scheme that's helping him, and he's shooting really well? And yeah, it's probably, but it's really nice to see the usage go up as well. It's up to 27% over 25 in the season. So Chris Middleton is trending in the right direction in my book, you know, and Malcolm Brogdon has been good as well. And you're not going to say, you know, snuff at him in this situation where he's probably going to start at point guard. And you know, Jeff Teague is not by any means, not by any stretch, you know, an elite defender. And Brogdon is 5'3 on DK. That feels really nice to know he's going to have to play massive minutes. The annoying thing is you have the, you know, nice flexible positioning there. 5,400 on FanDuel, you have to lock him in at shooting guard. So, you know, do you go? I mean, you're not going to go Middleton and Brogdon. Anyway, but I like both of those guys. I think Dellavedova's probably going to end up playing more than 25 minutes. You know, the way the rotation works, he's been playing like 22. So you could see some more run from Delly as well. I have no problem with Giannis. I have no problem with Giannis or Jimmy in this situation. I like them in big games, competitive games, where they're going to be asked to do it at both ends at a high level. I just think it brings out the best in those two players, and that's completely narrative-based. Except for this one, I did actually, never mind. There is a correlation here. Jimmy has performed really well in games against teams with winning records. So he very well against playoff teams as well. Averaged 40 on the season. He's had a couple 60 burgers, regularly demonstrating floor, you know, in the upper 30s, 37 type fantasy points. So Jimmy knows how to get up for big games, and Giannis is just on a freaking heater. Like he is, and it's not a hot streak. I don't actually mean that literally, but I think every single one of the last five, he's been over 52 fantasy points. He's gone over 60 in three of those, and once had 78. There's something working in what Prunty is doing here. Can Jimmy guard Giannis and cause him some issues? Sure. Yeah, he can. And you know, you're paying a pretty penny. I mean, he's still 10-4 on DraftKings, and on FanDuel he's 12K. So I think you're playing him on DraftKings, you're thinking about him on FanDuel. And I talked about Jimmy, 40-point floor, definitely want to attack him in a big game. And again, the matchup is not perfect, but what you have here is you have a guy with a very clear floor, I think comfortable floor, of 40 fantasy points. And at 8.6 on DK, that might be a little bit much. 8.9 on FanDuel, that might be a little bit much. But if, you know, you're debating one of those second tier type studs like LaMarcus Aldridge, Jimmy Butler, those kinds of guys, I think that those are good investments. You know, I think it's wise, actually, would like to have maybe a couple of these guys in my lineups. Like, you know, DeRozan, Aldridge, Jimmy, all of these. You have a lot of these nice players. The problem is you also have Russ. And you have Russ against really bad point guard defense. And so you just can't really afford to do it that way. Because you got to get to Russ. Anyway, I also like Kat. It's just, if someone could explain to me why he has taken so few field goal attempts in the last couple games, or in a couple of these games, I would love to know. I do not understand why Karl Anthony Towns has only taken, you know, in three of these games, he's taken 7, 8, and 9 field goal attempts. How does that happen? How do you, Tom Thibodeau and Minnesota Timberwolves front office, allow Karl Anthony Towns to not be an offensive force? He's one of the best scorers in the league. You have to utilize this kid properly. If he gets the shots up, you absolutely are going to, you know, be very happy with his performance, because Milwaukee has been terrible against centers. This is the best center matchup on the slate. The issue is that you don't necessarily know if you're going to get what you pay for with Karl Anthony Towns. But 9,300 on FanDuel, that's not a terrible price. It's very reasonable to say, okay, over 45, yes. This, we've seen some even worse centers go for over 45, and 87 on DK. You have to play a center, guys. You have to play a center. You would absolutely do worse than Karl Anthony Towns. OKC, Denver, no line in this one. Mason Plumlee, one of the Plumlee brothers, he's out. Trey Lyles and Darrell Arthur, Torrey Craig started kind of as a mixed bag there. I mean, definitely mixed bag. Wilson Chandler was also out, so Will Barton got a lot of run. You got to keep your eye on the injury report for Denver. Don't really know who's going to play, but we'll find out. There's potentially value. If there's not value, I don't know who I like against OKC in this situation. I mean, I don't know if I see anything. So we'll wait, see if anybody's sitting. If somebody's sitting, then, you know, you start to think about Gary Harris, because I think, you can think about Gary Harris for sure. At the two, it's been the clear weakness of this team. The two has, and Paul George, you know, my guess is that he's not going to guard him, but whatever is going on between the switching between the two and it's not working. So Gary could be interesting here for sure to just try to keep up. OKC side is where you want to be, you know, and Russ is obvious. I'll talk about him in one second, but Steven Adams is another interesting guy. And the reason is that Denver actually allows a lot of raw points in the paint. It's very kind of strange. You think about them. They have a big man identity. You think about all these guys that they have in the front court, but they just don't. They're not that great inside the paint. They've allowed above average scoring. Adams has just been really consistent too. 0.95 fantasy points per minute over 35 minutes. Over 30 minutes and averaging, you know, a little bit over 35 regularly, getting there. Double doubles in all four of the last five. So there's a lot of reason to think Steven Adams is one of the more, you know, easy to plug and play, like feel comfortable with type centers who's right in that mid tier. Russ, I mean, yeah, you kind of have to. This is a great matchup. The problem is he's actually priced appropriately. Anything below 12K would have been a gift, but 12.3 is like, okay, all right, we'll think about it, because it's an actual question mark. You know, that's a hard price. Like, you really have to plan and build around that and feel comfortable with a lot of the other guys. 11-3 in DraftKings, yeah. I mean, I'd play him over or James Harden for sure on that site, you know. You got to attack them at the point guard. It continues to be a thing. I mean, the numbers just continue to prove it out. You know, their point guard efficiency differential is the worst on the slate. Above average, the highest above average. They're allowing more than, you know, 2 points above average scoring to the point guard on a nightly basis. So, and that's the worst on the slate. So it's easily the best matchup for anyone. And it just so happens that Russ has the best point guard matchup. So you're going to have to go there. That is it for me. Game by game breakdown is through. Let's head over to FanDuel and see how the lineups are building out. So if you go to Russ, right, obviously, you go to Russ and you're probably going to want to get down and start to grab some value. And grabbing value on this slate probably either looks like Memphis or Detroit. Any of those guys are in play. But let's start at the small forward, and let's go with, you know, let's go with Reggie Bullock in this situation. The minutes have been there. He's a little bit cheaper. I think he and Johnson actually are going to regularly kind of have the same range of outcomes. On the Memphis side of things, not a ton that I'm that interested in, but I could see, I mean, if Wayne Selden, if guys are out, we're going to have to play Wayne Selden, and he's 3,600. So let's put him in there as if we have Russ in this situation. Now we're back up to 6,500 per man. At the power forward position, I mentioned LaMarcus. It's going to be hard to fit him in. Well, let's see, because power forward, other than LaMarcus, if Taj feels good, actually, against that front court, I think that's nice. He almost kind of shifts to his center at times. So I'm good with Taj. I'm going to go to Jonas Valanciunas at center, 6,300 there. I'm up to almost 7K per player. I know I can find a value point guard here somewhere because I want to get one of these Milwaukee. I want to get some Milwaukee in my lineup for sure, and then maybe some Toronto. So let's go with this. Let's go with this Tomas Satoransky character. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. I'm trying to think about Houston and San Antonio to see if I need any pieces from that. If I were to take a piece from that, I would go LaMarcus. Let's see what LaMarcus does to this lineup. Okay. So this is interesting. You ready for this? Let's say, man, do I want Dylan Brooks? I'm thinking about Dylan Brooks, Stanley Johnson, one of these other value small forwards. I don't know if I want to do that. What about another the shooting guard. No, I can't have LaMarcus in this lineup. You just can't do it. Shooting guard is so deep. Small forward is deep. This is why it's really hard to build with Russ. This is hard to build with Russell Westbrook right now. All right. Jimmy Butler. Chris Middleton. And, oh, this isn't bad. 6,400 at the power forward. I can do Trey Lyles, I guess. I mean, he's probably going to get the biggest bump, you know, right? Trey Lyles? No, I don't want to do Trey Lyles. Let's go Trey Lyles. He's going to get the minutes. They're going to need him in that one. So Trey Lyles is in there. Okay, this is a very rough draft. Russ, Tomas Satoransky, Wayne Selden, Chris Middleton, Reggie Bullock, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, Trey Lyles, Jonas Valanciunas. Feels good. Now, I want to try this thing that I was talking about the whole time and do that balance. So get off of Russ. I'm going to leave a lot of people. I'm going to leave a lot of guys in this lineup here. Like, I'm going to leave Chris Middleton, Jimmy Butler, Reggie Jackson, and Tomas Satoransky. All right, let me see now if I can get... Now, let's go back to Wayne Selden, because I feel like that is going to be a pretty solid value that you just can't quite ignore. 3,600 there. Okay, so I want a LaMarcus. Now I have 7K for power forward and center. Man, I wonder if I can get Cat. I can definitely get Cat in there. You can definitely get Cat in there. And then if I go cheap at the power forward position, I can get, who do I need at point guard here? Kyle Lowry, 7,400. I go down to $4,800 for a power forward. Anthony Tolliver might get some run. Man, it's pretty thin down here. Jabari Parker, baby. He's back, and he's going to be right here at this price range. I don't know. I'll have to look at this. But this is interesting, too. Okay, Kyle Lowry, Tomas Satoransky, Wayne Selden, Chris Middleton, Reggie Bullock, Jimmy Butler, LaMarcus Aldridge, Karl Anthony Towns. That is really nice. I mean, listen to all those studs right there. Those are 50 burgers waiting to happen. Print them. Hey, that's it for me, guys. I'm going to get out of here. Thursday night, I will record with Yash Fernandez. You may know him as Josh. We're going to record that Friday slate breakdown. So stay tuned for that. We'll bring it to you live.